Well, tonight I'm going to be sharing a teaching I'm calling Alabama Alignment. This is going to be a little different than my normal style of teaching or preaching because I'm wanting to share some testimony out of the meeting that we had this past Saturday in Oxford, Alabama. Chuck Pierce was there. And I'll be sharing some of the words that he shared at the meeting. Chuck is a very highly respected, in our stream, a very highly respected prophetic voice for years and years. You may be familiar with Peter Wagner back in the day. Peter's now with the Lord, but Chuck is his son-in-law, and he really carries that prophet's mantle internationally. He's recognized as a prophetic voice. He's had numbers of extremely accurate prophetic words concerning our nation and other nations. One example, and this will tell you how far back it goes. If you'll remember when they were looking for Saddam Hussein, and they finally found him in a hole in the ground, you know, covered up. It was just a couple or 3 weeks before that happened that Chuck had prophesied that he would be found. They'd find him in a hole in the ground. They would drag him out. And just things like that the Lord has shown him. Sometimes we forget that scripture in the Old Testament that says, and this is what the Lord says, I do nothing except I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. Now, that's a powerful statement that the Lord is saying, you know, with my purposes and plans unfold in the realm of earth, I'm going to let some of my men, women, I believe too, I'm going to let them in on it. And he does. And there's different levels of the prophetic. I remember years ago someone asking Jim Gall, who's another very respected prophetic voice. I know Pastor Larry, Pastor Doc know Jim. But someone asked him, well, tell me, what's the difference between someone who's like prophetic, got prophetic gifts, and a prophet? And Jim, I believe, wisely answered, about 20 years. So I think there can be something to that as well. I want to root what I'm going to be saying tonight out of Acts chapter 17. I love this passage of Scripture. I think personally that Paul gets a bad rap about his ministry in Athens at Mars Hill, you know, when he was ministering to the philosophers and the Stoics, and where there was rampant idolatry in the city. You know, some people label his ministry there as a failure, but there were folks that got saved. And we're still talking about it today. I seldom bump into somebody that mentions my message past a week or two. And we're still talking about what Paul preached 2,000 years later. So, yeah, I think his ministry there was very powerful. And in trying to build a bridge to these people that believed in all these different kinds of gods, they were polygamists, he said this, and I'm picking up midstream, and he's talking about God. And God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. He takes it all the way back to Adam, the first man. Right there you go. And has determined, notice that, he, God, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. How marvelously involved God is in your life. He decided when you would be born. He decided to whom you would be born. He decided where you would be born. Predetermined the boundaries of your dwelling. And it began with Adam, and he hadn't skipped a soul since then. He knows everything about everybody. He is the creator of all humanity. And there's a reason that God keeps good records and makes such wonderful plans. because he wants people to come into the fullness of his plan of redemption for their life. He had an awesome plan laid out for Adam and Eve. Sin, their sin, messed it up. God wasn't surprised. He already had a plan that would go into place when the plan he had for them failed that he knew was going to fail because he's God. And so that plan involved redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul tells us, that's a causal idea. Why did he do all the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of his dwelling? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I love this. It's stated that he's quoting from, one of their own poets, but what he's stating is true, or Paul wouldn't have used it as he did. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now that takes it another level. Not only can we be traced back to the garden, to the first man that God ever made, the first woman that God ever made, and all the children that have been and ever will be on this earth came as a result of that first initial union. But Paul ends it here by going further back than the beginning when he said, for we are all his offspring. We existed in the mind, heart, plans, and purposes of God before we existed in this realm of earth. Jeremiah even said, before I was born, he knew me. He knows you. And he predetermined the boundaries of your dwelling. And here we are tonight. We've all ended up, we may have a few Tennessee folks, a few Mississippi folks here. It goes for you as well. Tonight I'm focusing on Alabama, where the bulk of us live here, but the principles are the same, regardless of where you're from. God has a plan for Alabama. God has a design. He has something he wants to do through the state of Alabama. And through the years, there have been some tremendously powerful prophetic words that hang over the state. From Ruth Ward Heflin, that talks about that move of God, the glory of God, the wind of God coming down into Alabama. She even used the phrase, I come from Alabama with the banjo on my knee. She picks up on that and begins to prophesy. Powerful word about a great move of God. About 6 years ago, I was at a messianic congregation in Birmingham, Alabama. And afterwards, the pastor and his wife invited three or four of us to their home. And I had the privilege of meeting a brother that I'd been praying that I would have the opportunity to meet him and hear the story. Because I'd heard about a prophecy that had come out of Seoul, South Korea, from the largest church on planet Earth, and the pastor, Paul Youngi Cho. And I'd heard the story that he had prophesied there was going to be a move in Alabama, and I'd heard just snippets of it enough to know that there was a pastor in Birmingham that was there that day, and so he happened to be invited that night, and I was able to meet with him and sat at a kitchen table and enjoyed some food together. And I asked him, brother, an African-American brother, an elderly statesman of the gospel, I said, would you please relate to me the story of when Paul Youngi Cho prophesied about a move of God in the state of Alabama? Here's the short version. He and a few others with him had attended service. They were in Seoul, Korea, attended service at his church. And they left the service. They were on the bus leaving. And someone had mentioned to Pastor Cho that we had visitors there from Alabama. And when they said that, he said, where are they? Anyway, they made haste, was able to track them down, stop the bus. He got on the bus and said, I was in my office and the Holy Spirit moved upon me. I was looking at a globe and the Lord directed me to put my finger on Alabama, and he said there's going to be a great move of the Holy Spirit in this place in the future. Another man that's been greatly used of the Lord, Pastor Paul Youngi Cho. And I could go on with prophetic words that notable people have shared. Saturday, we had what was called Tabernacles meeting because it aligned with the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. I ministered on that here last Wednesday night, some lessons from the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's the year 5785 on the Jewish calendar. And Chuck Pierce, who really carries a heart for Israel, he really carries such deep compassion for the Jewish people. He has a deep understanding of the Hebrew ways of seeing things. And he has been to Florence before. He had ministered at Grace House, I think in like 2018 or so. He was ministering. We were there together for the... I'm just going to go back and try to put this together in the sequence it unfolded. And I'm going to put a few things on the screen for you. I do want to drop back one more. I need to bring in one more thing. See if I put that in here. I'm looking for an image. I'm sorry. There it is. I don't know how it ended up on the end. It was supposed to be at the other end. This goes back to 2008. Chuck was at Ellis Island, Statue of Liberty. He had, and this may trip some of your breakers because it's unfamiliar to you, but he had like an out-of-body type experience where he was caught up and he was allowed to see things in the spirit. That's not unbiblical. Paul mentions he knew a man, and I, along many, many, many people, believe he was given personal testimony. He was just doing it humbly. I know of a man who was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. It was that kind of experience. And the Lord, because he carries a mantle, he and Dutch Sheets both carry a mantle for America. They traveled together on a word from the Lord to all 50 states back in the first decade of our country. I was able to make some of those meetings. But Chuck carries that. And in 2008, the Lord visited him and began to show him things about different states. When he came to Alabama, the Lord told him, Alabama must go first. Alabama must go first. Now, why? Why did it happen that way? You know, we can't say for sure, but I've got some ideas. Number one, Alabama is a forerunner state. Our very name is a Native American term that means thicket clearer. The one who clears the ways for those who follow. That's what a forerunner does. But more importantly than that, and I heard Chuck reference this on Saturday, that when you're dealing with getting things right on a land, God predetermined the boundary of our dwellings. In other words, the land that we would live on. To honor the first people that inhabited that land and always honor God's people, Israel. Now, as a sidebar, when we bought the property that we are now occupying here, before any dirt was turned and before this building was started, we met and we had a worship service, a kind of a dedication service to dedicate the property to the Lord, and we received an offering on this ground. Our first gathering here. Nothing here. We gathered, we worshiped, we received an offering. And it was a really blessed offering. I forget the exact amount, several thousands of dollars. And the Lord led us to sow that into the ministry of Chief Nigel Bigpun. Nigel Bigpun traces his roots back to here through the Yuchi tribe that lived here hundreds of years ago. He is a born-again, on fire, Holy Spirit-filled, apostolic brother. And we sowed money into the apostolic center of training that he oversees there in Oklahoma. Why? Because those were the first people, as far back as we could determine, that had ever lived on this ground. So, well, but they might have done all kind of ungodly stuff. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? But yet, You think God didn't predetermine the boundaries of their dwelling? So we honored that. And then last year, when our All About Allen, Alabama meeting here, the Lord spoke to us in the service. We took up, we didn't take it up. We sowed out of our treasury here at Grace House a $12,000 gift. Half of it to bless the Allen, Alabama movement across the state, because we want to be in on that. And the other went to Israel. And at that time, it was a ministry that was providing shelter for those that were fleeing from what Hamas was unleashing in Israel at that time. So we have honored the original people that were on the land. We've honored God's people. And there's many other things that we did in preparing this property for this building to be built. When this building was built, we put scriptures in the concrete that this building rests on. It not only rests on a concrete foundation, but under all the concrete that was poured, scattered up and down the trenches before they poured the concrete in, were scriptures saying Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, that He's established His church on the law and the prophets. All kinds of scriptures are underneath the foundation of the foundation of this church. And we thought that was important. In the walls, we ran off adhesive labels and that had scriptures printed on them. And we got some folks over here, and we went through these buildings before they put the insulation and sheetrock up, and we put the Word of God inside the walls of this place, over the doors of this place, up high, down low, throughout this building. This building rests on the Word of God. This building is saturated and marinated with the Word of God. Why? Because we believe God predetermined this would be the dwelling place for the congregation called Grace House, for us to become who He wants us to become in this region. God has purposes and plans. And Chuck saw the reason that I put that picture up there, that's his picture, a great explosion of light in this vision he had. The Lord, he said, is looking down from heaven, I could see Alabama, and then it just exploded with the light of glory. Now, I needed to put that in place to share with you what follows. Saturday, when we began the service at 10 a.m., we were in worship. Early on, after the worship started, Chuck got up, came up to the platform, said, "I normally don't do this." He said, "But it was so strong on the way over here this morning. The Lord spoke to me." And here's what he said the Lord said. He said, I guess I better go back to find my plates again. I apologize for this. I'll get you there. This is what he prophesied. What comes out of Alabama this year will save this nation. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know about that. I'm going to say yes and amen to that. I trust my brother. You could tell he was so excited about this. He said, what comes out of Alabama? And he's talking about the Jewish year, which began 2 or 3 weeks ago, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. So most of the year, you know, about another 355 days or so now. What comes out of Alabama this year will save this nation. Then he began to tell about his journey from Dallas, Texas. He said, we did Feast of Tabernacles there at the church where he oversees. And then the Lord led him to Bishop Bill Hammond, who is kind of the grandfather of the modern prophetic movement. I think he's like 90 years of age now in Louisiana. Then he went to Morning Star, and then he came back to Oxford, Alabama, where he said, you know, the Lord originally told him this would be a place really significant in the state of Alabama, and that's where Pastor Kent Maddox pastors. And he was telling about, the Lord began to speak to him, that even his journey was significant. And he said the word of the Lord came to him and said, the Lord told him to, if you'll put it up here, I can't read it well back there. Trace my portals this year throughout this land. Follow my portals throughout this land, for it is from my portals that I will restore the land that you are walking in. And what he means, don't be thrown by that word portal here. What he's talking about is places where there has been an outpouring of God in our nation. Places where God has moved before. You know, when Jacob had his dream, laid his head on a rock, he had this dream, and heaven opened. He saw angels ascending and descending. In other words, that was this particular location where there was great supernatural activity that began to happen. Angels ministering up and down, and it was a significant event in the life of Jacob. That became a portal for him. He built an altar there, and it's still an important place today. You may have places in your life that God met you, and those are special places to you. But the Lord told him that he's to visit those places, and he said that I will restore the land that you are walking in. In other words, this year, this what God's going to be doing, there's going to be a lot of restoration. And I'm just hitting the high parts here. He said this, as we enter this year, he was referencing 5785, the Jewish calendar goes all the way back to the beginning. So the Gregorian calendar that, you know, we do our daily schedules and everything by, it's in reference to the year of the Lord, Anno Domini. But the Jewish calendar goes back to the beginning. He said, as we enter this year, another meaning for five, and he was just talking about the meaning of the Hebrew numbers, and the number five, and he said in the Hebrew that you also look at the words that contain the lettering used for five, and you get further meaning of the Hebrew words. And I'm not going to go into that other than what he says here, that another meaning for that number five in Hebrew is high place. And by the way, Hebrew, the word Hebrew means to cross over. Hebrews are people that cross over. Israel crossed over the Red Sea, you know, into the Promised Land. So he says, therefore, you have to put the two together. He first said that five always in Scripture carries an idea of grace, and we understand that in our new covenant, right? So here you put the two together, high place and grace. Therefore, you have to put the two together, which means you have grace for the high place. God is giving us grace this year to take the high place. He's speaking to the state of Alabama. There were people from most all the counties of the state, about 300-400 people there. God has given us grace this year to take the high place. That's what we're hearing about from our brother from Wetumpka. Wetumpka was a high place. Earlier, there were seven of us that were asked to share in the meeting. I was able to share in the meeting. There was something that I was asked to share about in the meeting. But there was a pastor there, a Hispanic pastor from Wetumpka, and he shared how God is really moving in their city in the way of deliverance, how they've torn down some of the demonic strongholds in their city, and they're seeing God really move. And that's very biblical. You know, everywhere Jesus showed up, most of the time demons started screaming out. He said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Paul said we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. The Bible says we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. So all that's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And so this is we're headed something very personal for us here. The next thing he said was this, and this, I'm following this line of thinking, and these are direct quotes. And he said, I got off the plane, and the Lord spoke two cities to Alabama to me. One was Wetumpka. I mentioned it to Kent before you got up here and talked. He's pointing to Kent. And the other was Florence. And he said, those two places have to demonstrate in Alabama what I am saying to the state. That's a weighty word for our region. Then he says, demonstrate in Alabama what I'm saying to the state. Now, I just go with God. He looks at me and he says, Eddie, he says, that Florence, when he says Eddie, he says, he's saying, Eddie, God says, or the Lord says, Florence would become death, a smell of death to the unbelieving, but a fragrance from God to those who want to believe in the days ahead. And then he just went on. Now, when he shared that part, Florence shall become death, would become death, a smell of death to the unbelieving, but a fragrance from God to those who want to believe in the days ahead. You know, all kind of thoughts can begin to rattle around in your brain. You know, I don't think he was referencing like unbelievers are going to start dying. I think what he is saying to me, the feeling, the sense of knowing that came to me when he released that word was that he's saying in our area what God's going to do is what Jesus came to do, to destroy the works of the devil, that unbelievers are going to get tired of the smell of death about everything they're doing that's in alignment and agreement with the enemy. They're going to get tired of it. It's going to become a stench to them, but all of that that's happening to those who are believing in the days ahead of us, it'll be a fragrance from God. And that's very biblical. It just makes sense. But what stinks to the devil smells good to God. You know, it should smell good to believers. So it's a very weighty word. Those two words are the fact that what God's going to do has to be demonstrated in Wetumpka and Florence. So we've really got to press in and pray for the strategy and word of the Lord about what this looks like in shoe leather. You know, that what is God calling us to do that can be verifiable? We know that God's doing it. That we can witness it. We can see the fruit of it. It's real. And that it's sustained. In other words, there's going to be evidence that this is God. These things are happening. And the unbelievers are going to be moved toward the Lord as a result of what God is doing. So I think that means harvest. I think that means a lot of deliverance. And there were other words that came forth. And by the way, this all came after we had a break for lunch, and Chuck ministered after lunch. I had shared just right after lunch, and then there were two of us that shared, then Chuck shared after lunch. But during lunch, I was walking across the room because I'd seen Brother James Nesbitt over there and I wanted to go talk to him. And on my way, Chuck called me to his table. And he said, "Eddie, I need to talk to you." And I said, "That's great." And he mentioned about coming to Florence. I said, "We need you in Florence. We've been praying about you. Kent and I have been talking about you coming to Florence. We want you to come to Florence." And I said, "So has Kent talked to you?" He said, "No. Kent has not talked to me." And he looked at me, and I mean, very authoritative. He said, "The Lord told me I'm to go to Florence." And I know last year he told me he was sensing that there would be a time when he would need to come here because Judah goes first. And from his perspective, Judah, the tribe of praise and worship, our area, when you think about God predetermined the boundary of the dwellings, think of all the people that have lived on this land, that have gone on in the secular arena to have international and national notoriety because of the musical giftedness, the artistic abilities that they carry, the poetic abilities. What do you mean by that? The lyrics that they've written, songs, the songwriting, all of that. I mean, this area is pregnant with people. You go to the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, and there's 1,200 it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been, but at that time there were over 1,200 people listed in the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, extremely famous and well-known musician people in music movements. And do you know that like 75% of those 1,200 are in the northern half of the state? And do you know that like 75% of those are from this area? He predetermines the boundaries of people's dwelling. There's something that God ordained that should spring forth from this land on which we live. And if you just look at how it's been manifesting in the natural, it's pretty obvious to me that one of the major areas is the area of music. And I believe in the sense of the kingdom, it will be in the area of worship, a sound being released. There, I just see this being a place where the sound and music that's released from this place, that just as people came here in the natural, because this was the place to be, there will be people drawn here. I believe the Institute of Creativity ultimately will be a part and parcel of that. It's a portion of that. Another thing has to do with the transportation, motion, movement. And if you want to spiritualize that in the sense of the kingdom, movement and motion in the spirit realm, being moved by the Spirit, being carried by the river of God. You even see manifestations in the natural, in the Bible. Philip was caught up and carried somewhere. You know, it's like he got caught up by the Lord. And I believe if you look in the natural here, there's so much evidence of that. The Ford Motor Company came in here. They wanted to build a city that was that would be miles deep on each side of the Tennessee River, all the way from Florence to Huntsville, Alabama. In the late 1800s, Florence had the largest wagon manufacturer in the whole world. They were making these big wagons that could carry heavy loads and shipping them all over the world. Florence Wagon Works. And I can take you and show you where it used to be, down close to the new river rock they've just poured, down in that area by the river. We still have a huge automotive industry in this region, in this area. And the other, it's in the power of energy and power. And that one's easy to spiritualize, the power of the Holy Spirit. Chuck said concerning Alabama on Saturday that we're stepping into a time. How did he say it here? I think I have it here. I don't have it there. I have it here. He said that there is going to be a... Where did I put that? Transfer of... We have crossed over into a supernatural zone. And then he talked about how power is transferred. That he believes that's where the state is entering into. In other words, a heightened time of supernatural activity in the natural. This area has been known for power. Look at TVA down there. Before it was TVA, do you know that Henry Ford and Thomas Alva Edison spent weeks in Florence, Alabama, walking up and down Court Street, having meetings for 5 years in the halls of the United States Congress. Daily, they were talking about Muscle Shoals, Alabama, because Ford had made a proposal to them for $5 million to buy all the leftover munitions because they were about to put in huge nitrate plants here in Florence on the Tennessee River to make ammunition to be shipped over to supply our soldiers for World War I, and all those huge stockpiles of materials to build those nitrate plants lay over there. And Ford offered them $5 million. He wanted to buy it, turn those into fertilizer plants, give farmers a cut rate for fertilizer, just charge them like 10% above cost, bring down the cost of fertilizer to farmers, reduce the cost of groceries at the supermarket, increase profit, and so forth. But they argued back and forth for 5 years, and it never got passed. And then TVA came along from a senator in Nebraska, and that got legislated. And that's been a huge blessing, the dam system that was put in. What's all of that? The munition factory that was proposed, the dam system that was put in, about energy, producing power, producing electricity, producing energy. And so those are some areas that I have long since, those three areas particularly, and another one's the whole idea of reconciliation for the civil rights era. We've done a lot of land work on that because of the fact that when our state was embroiled with the, quote, race wars, end quote, between blacks and whites, when the terrible things that were happening in the early 60s were happening across the state, blacks and whites were making music together in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, in the natural. So there's some areas we forerun. Alabama as a state, we were the first people in the state of Alabama, the people of the state of Alabama, through our legislative government in 1943, passed a resolution calling and stating we fully support the establishment of the return of the Jewish people to their homeland and recognition of the nation of Israel. We forerun that. Now, we were failing when it came to the racial reconciliation, but we got the Israel thing right. And what you will find often in your personal life and in the life of groups of people is the area of great shame, when God's redemption begins to work, becomes an area of great glory. You'll find in your own life where you have failed miserably, where you didn't measure up, when you failed God's design, when you didn't reach for what God's destiny for your life was, when you lived in sin, were under the control of the enemy, that once you're redeemed and you get born again, and you start getting the Word of God in you, you then begin to have authority in the area where you used to be a slave. You, because you've been liberated, now have an authority to help others become free. It's a scriptural principle. And so Alabama has these places of shame, but through redemption they can become portals of great glory, times of great breakthrough. And I've got so much dancing around in my head about this, in my heart, I'm just saying, Lord, put it together, because I'm talking about Alabama alignment tonight. It simply boils down to all of us getting our lives in a line with what God has for us, and for us to be swift to obey and do whatever God requires for us. I have told my family, you know, at least on two occasions, we actually went through three major movements where we have left everything and restarted because of what God was requiring. And you find that in your life, that when you obey God, you may not understand, it may not make sense, but when you know it's God and you humble yourself, you do the best you can to obey God, then things start happening. It sets in motion things. So I believe from this word that Chuck released on Saturday, we should be hearing the Lord saying that we've got to obey Him, step into what He's putting in front of us, and trust Him to bring about His design, not only for us, but so that things can be set in motion for the state of Alabama. Now, to finish my story, he called me over there and told me, said, I need to come to Florence. The Lord told me to come to Florence. So we're working on getting a date. Our side is, you tell us when you can come and we'll adjust to it. So y'all pray that it'll happen when it needs to happen, and that we will be faithful. And I'm so grateful for the intercessors we have in this house, the faithful prayer warriors that we have in this house. I'm so grateful to be able to pastor a group of people that are just daring and courageous enough about the prophetic and the things of God, just to charge forward, you know, to go for it, to take the proverbial leap of faith when God requires it. And I'm not saying I'm seeing any place we're supposed to leap right now. Don't get scared. But let's just have ears to hear. Last November, the Lord laid on my heart, I did a series about the futures in your mouth, that series. And the Lord laid on my heart to craft a prayer together, and I've tried to pray that. And it's been amazing, the power of the prayer. But it's basically, Lord, help me to see what you want me to see, to hear what you want me to hear, to know what you want me to know, to understand what you want me to understand, to say what you want me to say, to go where you want me to go, and to do what you want me to do. By the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I encourage you to go back and dig that up if you haven't been praying it for your own personal life, the sphere that God's given you. He determined the boundary of your dwelling. And when you get in alignment with God, you have authority on your land. You have authority in your business. You have authority in your family. And I believe God's calling us to be that apostolic center here. Not, thank God for the wonderful churches in the area. Every servant answers their own master. We just got to do what God requires of us as a congregation and bless our brothers and sisters that are rolling up their sleeves and going after it, doing the things God's called them to do. We want to be faithful. And we can be faithful because faithful is He who calls us. He will also do it. Stand with me. I need to turn the valve off. We need to pray about the high places, the grace for the high places. Lord, I tell you what I want to do tonight. I want to pray a prayer over us tonight. And would you agree with me? Let's align our hearts together. Father, we thank you tonight that you are calling us here in this region in Florence to demonstrate in the state of Alabama what you want to do this year. May that forerunner anointing be upon us and our brothers and sisters in Wetumpka and across the state. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever foreruns this death, the smell of death, and the fragrance that is pleasing to those that are willing to believe, we call for that in Jesus' name. We ask for grace to establish in every high place, every enthroned area where the enemy thinks he's in control, may you give us heaven-sent strategy, knowledge, awareness, timing, step-by-step plans of how to make sure that Jesus Christ is heralded as Lord of Lords and King of Kings over each and every high place in this area. We ask, Father, for the spiritual weaponry, for the Holy Spirit wisdom to be able to unseat every ruling principality and authority that would stand against your kingdom plans and purposes. And Lord, we don't want to do this flippantly or without reverence in our heart to you. We don't want to be fueled by human flesh or any type of spiritual pride, but in humility with servants' hearts as soldiers of the cross, to exercise our God-given authority to shift things in our families, in our congregations, your congregations, in this city and in this Tennessee Valley. May your glory roll into this region in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's what we want to do. I mentioned this briefly on Sunday, but Chuck also said, you know, the Hebrew word hallelujah, hallel, to praise Yah, the Lord, to praise the Lord. He made the statement, and I've listened to it several times. I've meditated on it, but it's a powerful statement. He says every time, when we do that, like from our heart and faith, in other words, meaning it, you know, it's the difference between saying, yeah, good to see you, and like, it's so good to see you. You know, it's from the heart. When we praise the Lord, he said that that's like helps widen that opening, so to speak, and the wind of God begins to move in response. You know what the scripture says? He inhabits the praise of his people. So we want to go out of here tonight with a hallelujah. And we're going to do that. We're going to begin saying it. We're just going to put some volume behind it. And our prayer team members are going to be here. I'm going to dismiss us in just a moment. But if you need prayer for any reason, you need someone to join with you and pray with you, if our prayer team members would go on, come on up. You can just keep facing this way for right now, but be up here where you can turn around in just a moment when we dismiss. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's just say hallelujah together. Let's declare hallelujah together. Let's worship the Lord by using this Hebrew word, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, have your way. Have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We choose to align, oh God, with your plans and purposes. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen, amen. Thank you for being here. Prayer team members are here. I'm going to go change back because we had one of our people that was not able to get here in time to be baptized, but we don't want them to go home not baptized. So if some of you want to hang around for that, that's fine. But God bless you. I love you all. Let's go get them.